Good morning. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be with you again here at Connections. I need to apologize right up front that you're having a barbecue after church, and I have to get back to the church that I serve because we've got a pretty important meeting going on. So I need to dip out of here right after the service, which I don't like to do because I really do like to engage and get to know you. But hopefully there will be another time for that. So thanks for having me this morning. Also really appreciate your emphasis on grace in a lot of those songs this morning, because that's going to be our main topic today is the grace of God. And so I want to walk you through that as well. But before we open up God's word and before we get into the message this morning, I'd like to invite you to join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend, and our hearts to receive. And then move us by your Holy Spirit to respond with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Our passage this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15. And we're just going to take a look at a short passage there, verses 21 to 28. But if you have Bibles with you, or if you have a Bible app, I would encourage you to open that up, or I also see it's on the screen, so you can take a look at it there. We will be referring to it throughout the message, and so sometimes I think it's always good just to have those Bibles open so that you can see it in the context of the passage. But I invite you to join me in the reading of God's Word. This is Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 21. There we read these words. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Jesus, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before Jesus. "Lord, help me," she said. Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. I'm going to start by mentioning a movie that I would almost put all of my life savings down that no teenager here has ever seen. The award-winning movie Ben-Hur. How many of you have seen that movie? I don't see a single teenager with their hands raised. There we go. Good bet. The award-winning movie Ben-Hur recounts the fictional story of Judah Ben-Hur, who is a Jewish nobleman who lived during the time of Christ. And Judah was at the peak of his success, basking in wealth and power, when his life suddenly took a devastating turn as a result of a betrayal from a dear childhood friend who happened to be a soldier that served with the Roman army. And because Judah refused to help his friend persuade the Jewish people to comply with the Roman authorities, Judah found himself condemned to a living death, ordered to be chained to an oar on board a Roman warship. And in one scene of the movie, Judah, along with other prisoners, can be seen trekking through the desolate, hot desert, step after painful step, on his way to serve out his life sentence. And at one stop on the journey, the group of prisoners and soldiers take a break in a small village. The prisoners are tired, they're weak, and they're thirsty. As the villagers attend to the needs of the prisoners, a ladle filled with water is lifted to Judah's lips. And just as he leans in for a life-giving drink, the ladle is grabbed away by a Roman soldier. "No water for him," the soldier yells. And then the soldier himself takes that very same ladle and takes a long drink from it. In desperation, Judah attempts to catch whatever water falls from the soldier's mouth, even as the soldier pushes him away. Denied water, Judah collapses to the ground, sure that his fate is death, and weakly cries, "God, help me." In our text for today, we hear a similar cry for help. But unlike Judah's weak cry, the Canaanite woman cries out in desperation, in many ways in her own fight for life. Jesus and his disciples had left Galilee, where most of Jesus' earthly ministry had taken place, and headed north to the area of Tyre and Sidon. And this area had a similar reputation to what, let's say, Las Vegas may have today, somewhat of a sin area. Here we encounter a Canaanite woman, and she comes to Jesus because she had a problem. Her daughter was demon-possessed. She had no doubt tried everything at this point, prayed to pagan gods, offered sacrifices at the local temples, and yet nothing had helped. Jesus might be the last chance to find healing for her daughter. And so with desperation in her voice, the woman cried out to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus no doubt heard the desperation in her voice, but he didn't speak a word. It's a different story, though, when it comes to Jesus' disciples. Already uncomfortable hanging out with Jesus in this God-forsaken area, they didn't appreciate the attention the woman brought to them. They grumbled among themselves while looking her way. She's got a lot of nerve even asking for help. A woman, a Canaanite, living in this area, her daughter demon-possessed? It doesn't take a genius to figure out what kind of life she's been living, let alone her daughter. And they turn to Jesus and say quite urgently, "Send her away." Jesus finally speaks. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," he said. Clearly, this Canaanite woman wasn't an Israelite. But not to be deterred, she knelt in front of Jesus and cried, "Lord, help me." This was a cry for her life, for her daughter's life. Jesus didn't back down from his initial response. Again, he simply says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Surprisingly, even with the assumed comparison of her kind to a dog, the Canaanite woman didn't retort back in anger or put her head down and walk away defeated. Instead, she challenged Jesus, saying, "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And finally, she heard the response she had been longing for. Jesus said, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And at that very moment, the Bible tells us, her demon-possessed daughter was healed. In Matthew's gospel, which was written to Jews, this interaction between Jesus, the disciples, and this Canaanite woman brings to light the tension and struggle that was a very present reality for them. For Matthew's intended audience, as well as for Jesus and his disciples, the mention of Canaan would stir up memories of stories passed down from generation to generation. Canaan was the promised land for the Israelites. Promised to Abraham by God, it was the land that Joshua received and received orders to enter and then to conquer with the Israelites. The Canaanites remained in conflict with the Israelites for a long time. That's the story of much of the Old Testament. And therefore, there's no love lost between the Jews and the Canaanites. And so as this Canaanite woman approached Jesus and his disciples, she already had a major strike against her. Just a few chapters before in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus sent his 12 disciples out to do ministry, and he said this to them: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." It seems quite clear that Jesus viewed his mission on earth to be only to the Israelites, the Jews. Remembering the promises God made in the Old Testament with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that through their offspring, all nations of the world would be blessed. And yet, if we pay attention to the promise that God made in the Old Testament, God includes all the nations of the world to be blessed through his chosen nation. And thus lies the struggle. This Canaanite woman, representing just one of the nations of the world, asked for Jesus' grace in her life, in part through the healing of her demon-possessed daughter. Yet Jesus' words and the disciples' reaction to her seem to imply that the mission of God was to be limited to the lost sheep of Israel, which leaves the Gentiles outside of God's grace. The mission of God throughout the ages has often been caught in a struggle over exclusion versus inclusion, restriction versus freedom, judgment versus grace. For the Canaanite woman, the cards she had been dealt, at least from a Jewish religious standpoint, didn't reveal a good hand. In many ways, the deck was stacked against her. A Canaanite, a woman from a pagan area, the mother of a demon-possessed daughter, and in desperation for help from another. The disciples make it pretty clear where they stood on who should receive God's grace. But truth be told, we, like the disciples, are not much different often in our views of who should receive God's grace. The cards we are dealt in life are often used against us, and in our world, survival often comes down to who has a better hand. Your deck is stacked one way or another, depending on your race, gender, your socioeconomic status, your sexual orientation, your level of education, your employment status, your citizenship status, your appearance, your marital status, your age. The list could go on and on and on. In America, we tend to know where one needs to land in each of those categories in order to determine if you have a winning or a losing hand. Because let's be honest, we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to obtain the cards that work in our favor. Or if we've been privileged with a good hand to start, we hold on to those cards for dear life. And unfortunately, the church also isn't immune from this type of gameplay. In religious circles, who has the winning or losing hand? Who's welcomed into our churches, into our homes, into our lives? Do we hold authentic space for those who are different from us? Just like the disciples, who are the people that you wish would just go away and leave you alone? Who are the people that receive a look of judgment and disapproval from us? Who are the people that you have diminished to a label instead of a human being? Until we realize that we all are in need of God's grace. Those of us that find ourselves with a winning hand in society, religiously, economically, have a tendency to keep our cards close. But Jesus calls us to a different way of living, a different way of loving, a reminder of what it looks like to be dealt a stacked deck of God's grace. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were called to be a blessing to all the nations. And if we look back at our text this morning, we begin to see a renewal of this call start to take shape through glimpses of God's grace in the story that we read. These glimpses of grace were seen through the faith displayed by the Canaanite woman throughout her entire encounter with Jesus. In her first interaction with Jesus, she addressed him as Lord, Son of David, which was her way of confessing Jesus as the Messiah, as Savior. And this is the first sign of faith that we see from this Canaanite woman. Additionally, Jesus' initial silence to the woman's cry revealed neither acceptance nor rejection of her request. And the fact that Jesus didn't follow the urging of his disciples and send her away gives us a glimpse of grace and must have given this woman a glimmer of hope. Even the insinuation that her kind was comparable to a dog didn't stop the Canaanite woman. In fact, she highlighted the point that while the likes of her kind may not have a seat at the same table as the children of Israel, they're still under the same roof, even if it is under the table and only eating the crumbs. And all of this culminated in Jesus finally speaking directly to the Canaanite woman. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And as Jesus said those words, God's blessing to all the nations was on full display. The Canaanite woman was received into the fullness of Christ. Her daughter was healed, and Jesus' grace was open and extended to all people. Even with the deck stacked against her, in her brokenness, the Canaanite woman's faith was on display. The words Jesus spoke directly to her reminded his disciples and reminds all of us that God's grace is for all people. The church of today is still called to be a blessing to all the nations and to extend God's grace to all people. But in order to do that, we must first recognize that we too are in desperate need of God's grace. We are a broken people. Whether that brokenness is revealed through our words, actions, and attitudes that reveal our privilege, our indifference, our pride, selfishness, and exclusive behavior, or whether we find ourselves in the group of people that are the excluded, that are the marginalized, the judged, the unfortunate recipients of others' broken behaviors. We all are united in the fact that we all are in desperate need of the grace of God. The Canaanite woman was willing to settle for the crumbs off the table because even the crumbs gave her a taste of God's grace. Judah Ben-Hur was willing to drink the drops that fell from the soldier's mouth because he was desperate for life-giving sustenance. The good news is that God's grace flows freely upon all of us who in faith cry out to God. God's grace transcends all requirements, labels, categories, expectations, or whatever else our world, society, culture, religious tradition, and fellow humans may place upon us. And as we are recipients of God's abundant grace, so are we called to freely and abundantly extend that grace to others. Friends in Christ, the grace of God trumps any hand you've been dealt in life. It overrides any societal, cultural, religious, and human attempt to push us or to hold us down. God's grace answers every cry for help. God's grace brings healing, wholeness, and restoration. God's grace offers hope, salvation, and eternal life. And God's stacked deck of grace is extended freely to you, to me, to all people, a blessing to all the nations. This is the good news. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in prayer. Most gracious God, we live in a world in desperate need of you. We are in desperate need of you. Reveal to us our brokenness so that you can reveal to us in even greater ways your amazing grace. And then help us to live in the joy and hope that your saving grace offers. Make us a people, a church, that loves the way you love us and extends grace the way you have freely offered us your grace. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.